Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU FM Radio, also a podcast on comicbookdaily.com. I am your co-host, Walter DeRaglia of Big B Comics in Hamilton, Ontario, and joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Mohawk College.
I just had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Was it good?
It was very good, thank
Excellent,
you.
Excellent,
yeah,
Chris.
Good. Yeah, it was good.
Good for you. You know, Wednesdays is a great day to have peanut butter and jelly and a great day to talk about comic books.
And why would that be?
Well, it's New Comic Day, as it is every Wednesday.
Oh, right!
And we're going to talk about today, among other things, some of the new comic releases hitting the stands today.
Yes.
In the world of comics.
You know, I'm being facetious. Obviously, I know it's New Comic Book Day. It's Wednesday. It's my favorite day of the week. As I've said before, it's kind of like a mini Christmas without the whole religious connotations.
You've said that before?
If I haven't, you know, I meant to. And that's all that matters.
Right. Well, Chris, you have said it before, and you are right. At the beginning of our show, we like to highlight new releases every Wednesday that hit the comic stands at your local comic
right.
book shop. Today, I'm going to talk about a few things that caught my eye. Number one would be Spider-Woman number one coming out from Marvel today.
Oh, very cool. Now, this is, of course, Jessica Drew or whatever her name is.
Yes.
Okay, right.
Now, what makes this interesting is we all remember the Daredevil pre-Brubaker. Brubaker's doing a hell of a job on Daredevil.
Oh, yeah,
has been doing
yeah.
it for a while. But before Brubaker, Daredevil yeah. was a hot commodity because of
Bendis.
Brian Michael Bendis
yes,
and
yes.
Alex Maleev.
You know what? I got to say that one of the best issues during the Bendis run wasn't actually Alex Maleev,
right.
although he was great, but there was a court issue. And it was an entire issue where it was just Daredevil in court,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was great. You know,
he's a great writer.
Bendis
is a great writer.
Yeah.
Now, this is the really first kind of monthly that Bendis and Maleev, the team,
right.
have done since the Daredevil days. So a lot of fans
yeah.
of the old Daredevil, and just a lot of fans of Bendis / Maleev,
yeah,
are
course.
Looking forward to this issue.
Yeah, absolutely, as they should.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great team. Looking forward to Maleev's artwork.
Yeah.
It's got a dark undertone to it.
A nice gritty feel
yeah,
to it, doesn't it?
You know what? You know what's really cool about Maleev? I don't know if you know this or not, but he actually doesn't do any of his artwork, like in hard copy, I'll call it.
Uh-huh.
He does all of his artwork on digitally on the computer.
I did not know that.
And so there's no if you wanted to buy like an original Alex Maleev page, it doesn't exist.
So you can buy like an original email or something. Like
pretty much, yeah,
okay.
yeah.
All right. Now, also from Marvel, I picked a couple of highlights. Again. Incredible Hercules, 135 hits the stands today for
right.
Hercules fans, and Incredible Hulk 602 hits the stands today too. And the reason I mentioned them both
yeah.
is that I must have been sleeping, but I thought Incredible Hulk turned into Incredible Hercules.
It did, you're right.
And I have a feeling, again, I think I was sleeping
well,
here, but I have
know.
A feeling Marvel went back to the old numbering system on
yeah,
Hulk
you know
hits
what?
That 600th issue
exactly.
Cash extravaganza, I guess.
For sure, and I'm sure it'll be some sort of weird monster-sized thing where they're going to have extra pages and old issues included.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Marvel likes to do that, where they take you know a whole series and they say, well, hey, you know what? Let's take the series from the 70s and the series from the 80s and the series from the 90s
mm-hmm.
and combine them all, and all of a sudden we've got like this milestone event, which is absolutely you know
a good thing.
A good thing,
right? Right.
But it's kind of weird.
It's kind of cheating.
It's kind of cheating a little
yeah.
bit. For example, She-Hulk.
Yes.
Which, you know, I don't know if you're a big fan of the Jennifer Walters She-Hulk. It was at first the Savage She-Hulk, and then
mm-hmm.
we had the John Byrne years where it was this sensational She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it reached like 100 or something like that, all of a sudden it became, you know, it went from like issue 4 to issue 100.
Right,
right.
Right,
you know, because
right, yeah.
Dan Slott's version of the She-Hulk was the, you know, something a little different, and then all of a sudden
right,
it was She-Hulk. You know.
Right. I mean, obviously a sales ploy, but.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, personally, I hope the Incredible Hercules keeps going.
Well, you know what?
It's a character that Marvel does well. I mean, Hercules is one of those characters that obviously is mythology,
yes.
Greek mythology, but Marvel has done well with Hercules.
Oh, for sure.
I hope that the series continues.
I agree. And you know what? As far as mythology goes, Marvel has done well with Thor.
You're right.
And the whole, all the Norse gods.
Yep.
And when it comes to Hercules, they've done very well at creating this their own version of what Hercules should be, right? So, and it's
they haven't done a good Hermes yet.
No, they really haven't.
No, they haven't.
No, they haven't. Yeah, maybe with Quicksilver, they'll come with some sort of fast running guy.
Okay. On the same kind of note, I also noticed Fantastic Four fans rejoice at issue 571 releasing today.
Right.
And Spider-Man's Legions of Them rejoice at issue 606 releasing today.
Right.
Now, what surprised me is, again, sleeping, you don't think of these things, but...
Pay attention, you historians.
Spider-Man 606, Spider-Man came out a year after Fantastic Four in the old days.
Technically,
being monthly issues... Spider-Man should be at, you know, 559.
Right.
But, you know, lo and behold, a few times in the Spider-Man run, they did go to bi-monthly,
yes.
And even now, like, yes. Three times a month.
Well, you know, during the, in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
Late 80s,
yeah,
I guess
McFarlane
I should
days.
Say. Late 80s, during the Todd McFarlane days, they went to a bi-weekly format where, you know, two issues would come out every mm-hmm. month. And so, therefore, you know, but it's mainly for the summertime. So, mm-hmm. in a span of the 12-month period, you'd actually get 16 issues.
Yes,
so,
you know.
Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man, had more issues than Fantastic Four.
Well, what that says, though, is that Spider-Man is the go-to title for Marvel.
He really is. You know, he really is.
I mean, FF for, you know, all the old-timers was the flagship Marvel title. Obviously, that's changed now, and Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, is the flagship Marvel title.
Oh, for sure. And I think he has been for a long time. I mean, certainly, we never really saw a Fantastic Four cartoon in the 60s like we did the Spider-Man, right?
Yes. You know, nor did we see a Fantastic forever go weekly or bi-monthly.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. So. Or have four titles like Spider-Man.
Right, yeah, good point. Okay, we're going to leave Marvel and talk about a nice Dark Horse offering today, and that is Conan the Cimmerian, number 14, hits the stands today.
Okay, I hate to interject here, Walt.
Yes.
But did you know that Conan has its own video game?
No,
okay.
I know Conan had a...
you know how there's, like...
A video
you know,
game.
Well, yeah, like, you know how there's, like, you know, World of Warcraft and, like, you know, like the...
Like
Star
alternate
Wars,
reality.
Star Wars thing? Galaxies and, you know,
oh,
all
okay,
those sort of, like,
yeah.
multi-online
yeah.
things where
yeah.
people get sucked in for, like, 14 hours at a time.
Right.
Well, Conan has a an age... I think it's called the Age of Conan or Conan Dark Ages or something like that.
Wow.
But I learned that I was watching episodes of Big Bang Theory.
Right.
Which I hate to say. Have you ever seen... I hate to digress here for one second. Have you ever seen Big Bang Theory?
That's about, like, the creation of the universe?
Well, okay, that theory is about the creation of the universe. But the show is about these, like, basically these two nerds that mm-hmm. live in this apartment. And the apartment across from them is this hot chick.
Oh.
But the two nerds are, like, completely into, like, comic books and
right.
video games.
Dumb radio shows.
Yeah, doing dumb right. radio shows. Okay. And, yeah, actually, you know what? I hate to say this, but you know what? The nerdiest of the nerds, Sheldon, has comic books framed in his bedroom.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
that's desperate.
You know, I don't know what to say here when you say that's desperate, because I actually have a couple of framed
I know that.
Is it hot in here or is it just me?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And the old thing goes, is this thing on?
Yeah, ladies, I am available.
Yes.
So anyways, Age of Conan, comic book video game.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Now, Conan the Cimmerian, number 14. Now, the cool part about this is Joe Kubert does a stand at drawing this
Get book. Out of town.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's the first time Kubert does a sequential comic work.
That's
Conan,
awesome.
Conan work.
Right, right.
And he's like a legend of things,
yeah,
so
for
I look
sure.
forward to actually seeing this. And, you know, the Conan fans are fanatical fans,
yep.
so I'm sure Joe Kubert will add, you know, to the allure of
absolutely,
Conan. I hope
absolutely.
So. Chris, I'm going to save the best for last. Power Girl number 5 stands today from DC Comics.
Now, come on, Walt. Why would you think that I would think that that would be the best for last?
Well, first of all, I know you're a big Power Girl fan.
Yes.
And... Even you couldn't resist a title called Space Girls Gone Wild.
Oh, you know what?
Part 2 of 3.
Sounds great.
Now, the storyline is a trio of sexy aliens sexy alien marauders continue their rampage across Earth, and Power Girl obviously tries to figure out a way to stop them. Wow. These gorgeous aliens coming to Earth.
You know, I feel like I have to go read this comic right now.
Yes, I know. Now, Chris, do you remember back in the old SNL, the Saturday Night Live days?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, there was an episode where I think it's Christy Alley. She was the one on that TV series.
Cheers.
Cheers, yeah. Right. She was like after the other one, the first one. She was the second
Diane,
Barbie.
Yeah,
she was the second
Terry,
Barbie.
Terry, somebody.
Well, she was like the host of that one. And
right.
Her and a bunch of the other female cast, whatever, they played gorgeous female aliens.
Right, cool. Kind of like Barbarella or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And that landed, you know, in the White House.
Of course.
And they had their eyes on the end of their nipples.
On their boobs?
On their boobs.
I don't know if I can say boobs on
right,
radio.
You can't.
Okay, good.
So, and Power Girl's all about boobs.
Well,
so this is what reminds
you. You know what? Power Girl is more than just boobs.
Okay. Power Girl is slightly about boobs.
Okay.
But anyway, in this episode of SNL, they offer these female aliens. They offer the president and the big generals. They offer them all-knowing knowledge.
Right.
All they have to do is ask. They go, men of Earth, you know, ask us any question, you know, how to get unlimited power.
What's the purpose of life?
Is there a God?
Yeah,
ask us anything and we will answer it for you.
Right.
And the one general gets up and goes, when it's cold, do you see further? So this is the allure of Power Girl.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, and you know what? Did you know? That Power Girl has her own website.
Power Girl has her own...
Well, okay, I shouldn't say Power Girl does, but somebody has created an entire website around Power Girl, and it's called Power Girl Online.
Wow, Power Girl Online.
Yeah.
.com?
If you Google Power Girl Online, it'll come up this website.
Right.
I think it's like Metro City or something like that.
Right.
But anyway, somebody has actually created a site where you can read the origin of Power Girl.
Wow.
And there's all these like different sketches. You know, even the guy that does the New York Times cartoons,
yes.
Seth.
Yes, Seth. Yes.
Has actually done a sketch of Power Girl in there.
Good God.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Right,
check that out. Power Girl Online.
Yeah.
Google it, and it'll come up,
you know. Yeah.
And also, more importantly, Power Girl number 5.
Yes.
It's a stance today.
Absolutely.
And again, we're going to end this week's there. But as always, check your local comic shop today. Tons and tons of great new stuff coming out today. As it does every Wednesday,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So support your local comic store. Walk in today and have a look. Of course, we segue, as always, into some industry news.
Yes. Now, you and I talked briefly, very briefly, earlier about the fact that there's really not a whole lot going on right now as far as industry news goes.
You know what? It was a slow week.
Yeah.
It was a slow week. And
There's no Archie marrying Veronica.
No, there's no Marvel being taken over.
There's no
big things like that. Now, on that note, though... Jack Kirby, you know, probably the king of the Marvel artists.
Who, by the way, his real name is Jake Kurtzberg.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Well, you know what? When you deal with a comic historian like
myself. Like yourself, yes.
Yeah, Jake Kurtzberg.
Okay. Well, you know, young Jake's heirs.
Yes.
Are now contesting the Marvel copyrights to young Jake's creations, or supposed creations.
Well,
this is where the argument is going to happen, right?
Okay.
Did Stan create him?
Well,
did Jack create him?
Well, you know, if you get a character like, say, Captain America, Joe Simon and Jack Kirby created them together, right? That's always been sort of like the we know that.
Right.
However, when you come to characters like the Fantastic Four, the Incredible Hulk, you know, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created them together. So you know,
I wanted a Jekyll and Hyde type of story.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You know, who created the look of the character? You know, if Stan Lee went up to Jake and said, "Hey, you know, I want like a rock kind of character."
Right,
you know,
and then Kirby designs the thing.
Right.
Now, whose is that really? Did Stan's idea, does it prevail, or does Jack's detailed creation of it prevail?
You know,
and stuff. So, well, this is something that's going to, obviously it's going to go through the courts right now.
Well,
I honestly don't think it will be able to touch this deal, but you never know.
But you know what? This can only be happening because of the sale of Marvel to Disney, the Disney
right,
Corporation.
Right. Right? Yeah, you're right, because the heirs smell money, I think.
Absolutely.
And you know what? And it's like, man, I don't want this thing to drag on. Here's a few mil.
Sure.
Go.
Sure, absolutely. And, right. And, you know, and the heirs to Kirby, well, why not?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, we're going to move on. Very important comic news here.
Is it more about Power Girl?
No.
Oh. No. Well, even it can't better. Be that important now.
September 19th was just passed.
Yes.
Did you know, Chris, that it's the annual Talk Like a Pirate Day?
You know, I did and I didn't. I was watching the news, and believe it or not, it was actually on the national news that it was Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Now, did Knowlton Nash? He is not on there.
No, Knowlton Nash.
I'm old.
Lloyd Robertson.
Lloyd Robertson.
Did not. Yeah. And that's the kind of way it's been. Arr, you mateys. He did not talk like a pirate, okay. Unfortunately. Although I think I would love to hear that.
So would I. Now, the reason I fished this out of the net there was there's some schmucks there that had some sort of...
Schmucks?
Yeah. You know what? They had a pirate comic, and they decided to launch it on...
Well, you know what?
The annual pirate Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Smart marketing.
Yeah, I guess so. You're right. You're right. All the power to
them. If you're going to launch a pirate comic, you might as well do it on Pirate Day.
Talk Like a Pirate Day. Good
that's
point.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know what? I didn't even write down the title of it, but if you see it in the stores today... Pick it up.
Pick it up because I'm sure it must be good.
All
right. You matey.
Chris, Scooby Dooby Doo.
Yes.
Turned 40 years old last week.
Really, Raggy?
Now, Scooby, they did a poll on the Cartoon Network or something like that. And apparently, Scooby is more popular than Spidey and Batman and
even,
the kids.
Even right? Even more popular than like Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah, you know, even maybe more popular than Power Girl.
What? Come on!
No, I'm serious. Okay. Now, I'm reading about this, and it's really cool. Apparently, the guy's name, the guy ahead, the head of CBS, the cartoon guy at
Hanna
that
Rivera?
Time. Yeah. No, CBS was the network. His name was Fred Silverman, and he was a producer. And he wanted a cartoon for the weekends that wasn't superhero-based because he thought a lot of them were too superhero-y.
Okay, you know what? Just to give a little history on that,
mm-hmm.
At the time, Hanna-Barbera had a lot of cartoons like Birdman and
Johnny Quest,
yeah. Herculoids,
Superman,
Batman, superhero-y kind of characters.
So, you know, young Fred there, he says, "Hey, we need something new." He was a fan of mystery,
right?
So he asked Hanna-Barbera, who's had a great track record with Flintstones.
Flintstones, Jetsons all,
to create something new for CBS. And they came up with a story on, you know, the Mystery Five or something like that about a bunch of teens
with a pet and
stuff. And everything, he rejected everything, right? But it was in his mind, and he was on a nighttime flight on an airplane, you know, from New York to L.A. probably.
Okay.
And he's there listening to Frank Sinatra singing Strangers in the Night.
Oh, right, okay.
And I guess he's listening to it, and he hears the line,
Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
And it hits him.
Right.
He goes, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We'll call the dog Scooby-Dooby-Doo, and we'll make him the main thing.
So what you're saying is that a cultural... pop culture icon was named after
a throwaway line in a
Sinatra song.
Yes.
And basically because some guy who probably had one too many martinis on the international flight.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink martinis anymore any less. Anyways. Okay. Was named after a song.
Yeah, absolutely, and which is a great thing. Now, Shaggy,
yes,
who was basically him and Scooby, they're the tandem there, was modeled after, I don't know this person, it was modeled after a hippie named Maynard G. Krebs.
Oh, I've heard that name before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now the underground movement of all this Scooby and Shaggy thing, they still think that the writers were referencing, you know, toking, pot-smoking hippies.
Right.
With the whole Scooby Snacks, having the munchies all the time.
Sure.
Always eating and
Jeez,
stuff.
Jeez, who? So,
yeah. Zoinks?
Well, it's possible. I'd like to think that, you know, I have these memories of Scooby-Doo being sort of pure of heart and all
right,
that,
yeah.
And I'm not divulging into, substance abuse.
Great stuff. And, Daphne was hot as far as I'm
concerned. Well, Daphne was hot, but you know what? I bet Velma would probably make a better wife. I'm just saying. You know,
that's your opinion.
Velma would be, more attentive.
I guess you're right. Yeah. I guess you're right. I guess you're a good point. Yeah. You know, you're right. And you know what? In her own way, she was hot, too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know what? You can't disregard...
Unhot her, yeah.
Disregard the nerdier chicks, right?
Yeah, just 'cause I'm sorry.
Just because in every episode she lost her glasses. And
yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know what? I mean, you know, if she lost her glasses, you'd have a shot with her.
Hey! Ladies, I am available.
Okay. Chris, every now and then we revisit the New York Times graphic novel best-selling list.
Okay.
Okay, and I checked out this month's bestsellers, and Chris and I have talked about this before on the show.
Yes.
What we're looking for when we look at the New York Times bestseller list is
we would
love to see, you know, The Watchmen and so on is off the list, and we'd like to see new stuff. I mean, you're not going to see Great Expectations on the top 10 New York Times bestseller list,
no.
Nor will you see Don Quixote, Wuthering Heights, or anything like that. So we think that Watchmen and Killing Joke don't belong on
right.
the graphic novel
you know
bestselling
what?
List.
Exactly. You know what? As far as great literature goes, when you look at the chapter's top 10 list, you're not going to see Hamlet. You're not going to see the rise and fall of the Roman Empire.
Right, right.
You're not going to see, you know, all these other great pieces of literature because they're not topical anymore.
Right. New stuff's coming out. People are buying it.
Right. So what we like to see is the fact that there's new stuff being sold as far as the graphic novel industry goes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about The Killing Joke and Watchmen, we're talking about those are like classics of the comic book literature, but we want to see new stuff being sold as the top 10.
So there is good news and bad news in this month's pick. Mercy Thompson Homecoming is at number one for the hardcover, which is great. It's a new book out of Del Rey from Del Rey Publishing. You have Batman, Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader by Neil Gaiman.
Right.
Excuse me, which is relatively new. It's this year. But then you fall back to Killing Joke at number three.
But you know what? I know Killing Joke, it really is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Moore and Brian Boland.
Right.
You know what? And Joker is still somewhat hot off the tails of the old Dark Knight movie.
Right.
So you can't discount it.
I know, but my point is, your Killing Joke is your Tale of Two Cities, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Came out 20 years ago.
Right.
Right?
Okay, on the graphic novel, on the paperback side, you get the complete Persepolis, which is a great story. It's kind of like a coming-of-age story told from a female perspective in revolutionary Iran.
Yes.
My wife actually read it. She said it was great.
Oh, really?
It's just into softcover now. It is at number one, which is great. But, you know, Watchmen is at number two.
Right. But you know what? Persepolis is great because it is at number one. And there was a movie made about it, so that is going to increase the sales of the book as well.
Right,
so
which is
good.
Which
good.
Is excellent. So
I'm just curious, what's number 10 as far as the softcovers go?
You know what, number 10 as far as the softcovers go is The Sandman Preludes and Nocturnals, which is old.
Which is old, but you know what, I don't mind the fact that that's old because it's by Neil Gaiman, and people are going to read Neil Gaiman and want to find out what's going on. They're going to go to Whatever Happened to the Batman Tomorrow, whatever that's
called. Right. Now, personally, at the comic shop level, DC has been putting out $1 comics on the number one issues of great franchises from Vertigo, like Sandman, help me out here, Fables.
They had Hellblazer number one.
Yeah, Hellblazer.
They had Preacher number one.
I think that's helping the sales.
For sure.
It's like that free crack you get, and then you got to go out and
first one's
buy
always
more.
Free, then after that you got to buy them. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, Chris, man, we're running out of time.
We got 6 minutes left here. We're going to talk about our feature of the week,
which is this weekend's Schuster Awards held in Toronto.
Now, for those of you who don't know, the Schuster's Awards ceremonies is the Canadian version of the best of the best comic books, much like United States has the Eisner Awards. Now,
right.
To give you some perspective here, you know, we've got the Grammys, it's
U.S. and we've got our genies.
And we've got our genies?
Junos?
Junos?
Genies?
Whatever.
Yes.
I think it's Junos.
Okay. It's Junos then.
Okay.
Right. It's our Junos and their Grammys.
Right.
So,
right, right. So we've got the Canadian version of the best comics.
Named after Joe Shuster, co-creator of Superman.
Yes. And right. That's going to occur this Saturday, September 26th, at Toronto's Innes Town Hall with host Jonathan Lear. Apparently.
Yes. At the U of T's Innes Town Hall. Now, for those of you that don't know, my illustrious co-host is now a full-fledged member of the Shuster Committee.
You know, you said you weren't going to mention it, and now you had.
I went
ahead and mentioned it.
I'm sorry.
You know, I am now. I'm co-host of the show, but I am now part of the Shuster's judging
committee.
Committee.
Now, Chris.
Yes.
This you don't know. They did ask me to actually present an award this year.
Oh, get out of town.
Yeah.
Big B
is the current holder of the Kramer Retailer Award.
Right, of course, yes.
And so they wanted me to, present the award for
much
this year.
Much like in a lot of award ceremonies, they get last year's
winner to present this year.
Yeah.
And I said no based on the fact that you'd be there.
Oh, well, that's awfully nice of you.
No problem. I actually had other commitments. Now, based on that, quickly, I'm going to review the Harry Kramer Award, which is for the best comic shop, the comic shop that promotes comics the best, the comic shop that represents the industry the best. This year's nominees for the Harry Kramer Award, of course, named after Kitchener's now and then comic owner, now deceased,
yes,
Harry Kramer.
Okay. Pioneer.
Another Dimension in Calgary, Alberta. Great looking store.
Cool.
Google that and check out their store. It looks dynamite. The Beguiling, who, you know, I mean, I think should win it because they just champion all the small press stuff.
Yep,
they're an absolute Canadian icon. You got other stores. I don't have time to list them all, but there's about five or six other stores in Canada that I guess the Shuster Committee. Is looking at these stores and saying, hey, these guys are progressive. They are promoting comics out there. So best of luck to all the nominees in that department. We will report next week on the winners. Quickly, some other categories, Chris,
We've got best artist and then best cartoonist.
Yes.
Now, best publisher, best writer, you know. There's all kinds of great categories. And you know what's really great is if you get a chance, come on down to the Shuster's because there's going to be a meet and greet kind of ceremony.
Yeah, I think there's a meet and greet around from 5 till 8.
Yeah, and then at 8
and
o'clock.
And then the awards go on at 8 o'clock.
Right, and then after that, there's more meet and greet and talking about things.
Now, the boys from comicbookdaily.com will be down covering the event.
Cool. Very cool.
So look for their posts on the event on their website. It's another way, you know, we always say every week, head down to your local comic shop, support your local comic shop. Well, we encourage everybody to head down to the Shuster Awards and support the Canadian comic book industry.
Yes, absolutely.
Support our creators, support our publishers. You got to remember that we're you know, a tenth of the size of the United States, and we don't have the economies of scale that they do in terms
of
things. So all the support they can get is well deserved for one thing.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure well appreciated for another.
For sure. Well, you know what, Walter, you really hit the nail on the head there. Unfortunately, we do have no more time left. Once again, I know it's hard to believe, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, please email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbcomics.com. Please go out and support your local comic book retailer. They will appreciate it in the end, and you're going to love it. Have a great day.
And from now on, I guess you can jump on comicbookdaily.com, leave some comments on the radio show, on the podcast. We'll see everyone at the Schuster Awards this weekend. Talk to you next week.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
That was all right.